These are the sounds of a Cornwall that the world knows and loves. Waves crashing on golden beaches, afternoons lost lounging on the sands. Even the squawks of the seagulls evoke memories of hidden coves and holidays gone past. But there is another side to this holiday hotspot.
There's a couple of people in the last 2 days have been in and said, oh, please, can I have some soup? Can I have some soup? I haven't eaten for 2 days.
We live in a rural area. Some people are very stuck if they haven't got their car. And they're given the choice of, do I fix the car or do I feed myself and the family?
You know, the homeless are looked down upon. You know, less fortunate people are looked down upon by people in this area.
Cornwall is one of the poorest places in the entire UK. Homelessness, poverty, inequality, all are on the rise. And increasingly, it's the county's not-for-profit groups, the Good Samaritans and the volunteers, that are doing the most to help residents with the very least.
For the last 24 months, we've served 8,000 meals.
There are a certain minority that would like to see the place closed, and it would be a terrible thing.
This could happen to any one of us. Nobody knows what is around the corner.
I'll be looking at what it's like to be poor in Cornwall through the eyes of the volunteers on the front line. I'll go beyond the brochures to examine another side of life in the towns and the villages of this picturesque peninsula, to see what life is really like for those living below Cornwall's poverty line. It doesn't look like much from the outside. A glass-fronted building on one of the roads into town, between a bank and a post office. It could pass for any other cafe. But for dozens of vulnerable people in St Austell, this place is a lifeline.
We're talking about minestrone soup with artisan bread that's come from the Eden Cafe, pasta with bolognese sauce, and then peach crumble with custard.
For over 20 years, St Austell Community Kitchen, or STACK as it's more commonly known, has been providing meals for some of the town's homeless and vulnerable residents. It's open between 10:30 and 5, Monday to Saturday, and provides a warm, sheltered place for people to sit and talk and eat. Kim Matthews is a project manager.
To start with, coming in here, they feel that they have failed in some way, but actually society has failed them. What we try and do in here is to build people up, give them that self-esteem and the idea that actually you might be down here at the moment, but you can get back up again.
Ricky Carpenter uses the services provided by STACK, but he's also one of the increasing numbers of users, or clients as they're known, who volunteer as well.
Sometimes I do mixed fruit, sometimes I do peaches. We've got dry fruit as well. I normally sometimes chuck that in there. Well, I was actually, I split out with my girlfriend and become homeless. And then the first time I ever come to STACK was when it was down at Trinity Street. And I've just been coming in ever since. And then I just asked one day if they got any volunteers, jobs going.
So when you first came in, Ricky, when it was down the other end of St Austell, what were you thinking when you came in?
Is this really for me? And obviously it has, it's helped me. It's helped me quite a lot, really, over the years. The lead the juice in, because the juice is good for the crumble. It makes it all still like, because you got a layer of crumble.
I mean, we widened our definition of homeless to inadequately housed. So it could be people who are in hostels or are bed and breakfast, you know, from the council. Sofa surfers, you know, those the ones they call the hidden homeless, you know, that you don't realise, but they don't want to be still living with their in-laws, but they can't afford somewhere else to live, you know, that sort of thing. And we also now serve the vulnerable and needy, who don't actually have to be homeless to be vulnerable and needy, but they're just sort of that one step away from, you know, if things got worse for them, then it could be that they would be homeless. So it's a way of us trying to help their situation so that they don't become homeless.
About a dozen or so people come through Stack's doors during the lunchtime I spend there. Some opt to have the soup, while others plump for the three-course option, a nutritious, warm meal, plus a hot drink, all for a pound. The clients are a mix. There are men, there are women. There's also one young man who can have been no older than 20. He looked out of place, not the type of person you'd expect here, but he needed a voucher for the food bank down the road. And Dave Matthews, a trustee on Stack's board, is in no doubt that the number of people using the kitchen is increasing.
Well, certainly the figures speak for themselves. Before we relocated, we served 800 meals in the last year we were at the old place. In the first year we were here, we served 3,000 meals. And in the last 12 months, we've served well in excess of 4,000. But it was our chairman who did the figures. And for the last 24 months, we've served 8,000 meals approximately.
8,000 meals served over 2 years is something that's quite hard to quantify until you actually begin to drill down into what those numbers mean. I've just stepped outside Stack to do some quick calculations on my phone. And when you work it out, those 8,000 meals over 2 years actually works out to 11 people being fed each day, every day. I mean, that's astonishing to me. How in this day and age, in this town where I've lived almost my entire life, that there are almost a dozen people who can't feed themselves. Something that seems so basic that we take for granted, without relying on the kindness of strangers, on the kindness of others. But the fact remains, more and more people are falling below Cornwall's poverty line. Figures released by the Unitary Council last autumn show the county's homeless population has increased by almost 16% in just 12 months. The authorities attribute the rise to improved research, but others say it's due to financial difficulties facing local families in these times of austerity. Homeless shelters, community kitchens, food banks all say they're facing increased demand from users who've fallen into poverty. Well, I mentioned earlier the young man who was going down towards the food bank in St Austell. He was the chap who picked up that voucher. And the food bank's where I'm headed to now. It's about 300 yards or so away from Stack. You go down through the main town. It's actually just tucked away at the back of a small cafe. And it's yet another place where people in St Austell, who are on the brink of poverty, or already in it, can go for help.
My name's Steve Williamson. I'm the food bank project manager here.
So we're standing here in what looks like a fairly long, thin room, and all around on the shelves are various, I can see, tea bags, mashed potato, balti rice, pasta, tea, lots and lots of different types of food here. There's a lot in here, isn't there?
Yeah, the menu is basically made up, hopefully, of a fully nutritious meal. It's not necessarily very exciting, but it is approved by the Wiltshire Health Trust as nutritious. So there is everything to last somebody for 3 days to have a good rounded meal, so hopefully to keep them full, as it were.
The demand for places like this has rocketed over the past year. Organisations that run food banks, like the Trussell Trust, say they're having to open two new food banks every week, with year-on-year increases in users of over 100%. And like at Stack, those who rely on this service aren't always who you'd expect.
There's lots of reasons why people can end up coming to a food bank, and the list is almost endless. It could be that there is a bereavement. It could be that there is a job loss, a pay cut, a major bill in the household that means, for example, the car's broken and need it to get to work. We live in a rural area. Some people are very stuck if they haven't got the car. And they're given the choice of, do I fix the car or do I feed myself and the family?
Anonymity is important, and you're non-judgmental, you know, when people come in, there's no judgment made. But you must get a sense of the mood of people when they come in. I mean, how do they feel when they come into a place like this?
I think people are often very upset. They're very nervous about coming into a place because they've never done anything like this before. They've never received, in a lot of people's words, charity. That's not what we're trying to do for them. We're just trying to help people over a crisis, and we hope that when they leave, they go out with a different feeling, that the staff have reassured them. But it's a real issue for people to come in and get help often.
And do the local numbers match the national increase? Have there been more users in St Austell? Steve takes me to a back room and to a computer where he and the rest of the volunteers keep a tally of the people coming through the food bank's doors.
Our food bank data collation system just tracks the number of people that we're feeding over a period of time. And when you look just back over 2011, 2012, it was 960 people in total that were fed. We were 722 adults, 238 children. So there's real families being affected here. And in 2012-13 financial year, so far, since April, that's 150 in total, with 112 adults and 38 children.
So since April, we're talking, and we're standing here in June now, 150 people in total coming in, 38 of those children through your doors.
Yeah.
Well, it's another wet and miserable day in Cornwall. I'm heading off towards the west of the county, towards Camborne. Now, it's better known for its mining heritage and for its rugby, which it has a great passion for. But it's also one of the poorest places, not only in Cornwall, but in the entire country. One quarter of all children in the town are living in poverty. One fifth of all pensioners are doing the same, and over one fifth of all the adults in the town are living on some kind of benefit. So the poverty there is real, and it's tangible. DISC, or Drop-In and Share Centre, is one of the organisations trying to help vulnerable residents in the town. They operate out of the local church, working with the homeless, those dealing with addictions, those on probation. I visit at a peak time, just after 1 o'clock, when the midday meals are being served. Tara is one of the volunteers at DISC. Today she's behind the counter, helping to serve lunches. But for her, it's not always been that way.
The reason why I wanted to get involved was because I myself have suffered with addiction, and I've also suffered with mental illness. You know, and it's part for me is to give something back to the community. You know, the homeless are looked down upon, you know, less fortunate people are looked down upon by people in this area. You know, there for the grace of God go I, that I've never been homeless, you know, but I've suffered from my own issues, and if I was aware that DISC was here, then I might have used the service myself.
And Tara's not the only volunteer who's had first-hand experience of some of the issues facing those using DISC.
My name's Mark Cooper. I mean, I've got a checkered past. I've been to prison, suffered homelessness, been in and out of care. What people don't understand is people who we support, this could happen to any one of us. Nobody knows what is around the corner.
David's story is different. He's a member of the church and began volunteering after he wandered through to the community centre after a Boxing Day service and offered to help with the washing up. I ask him whether Cornwall was good enough at helping to deal with its vulnerable residents.
No, I don't think so. There is a certain amount of opposition from some people in the church, because not against DISC, I don't think, it's just the fact that they're using the church premises. Majority of church members are aware that, you know, the church hall is closed, and I think being a Christian, you know, everybody is sort of, they're all human beings, aren't they? But there are a certain minority that would like to see the place closed, and it would be a terrible thing.
David's answer surprises me, but in a way, it shouldn't have. A quick internet search shows that there are people in Cornwall who are opposed to the work being done by groups like DISC. They say the organisations attract drunks and drug addicts, that they disturb the atmosphere of Cornwall's towns and villages, and that residents can find themselves being abused by service users.
There was a page on Facebook of sort of like, you know, get new connections out of Camborne, you know. I was absolutely appalled by it, you know. These are people that work and you know, and they're fortunate that they've got a job, they've got a roof over their head, you know. If everybody showed a bit more compassion and a bit more love, you know, towards our fellow man, then, you know, maybe a lot more people would benefit.
Well, I've just come away from DISC. Luckily, the weather seems to have eased off. Good news, I suppose, if you're one of those people in the community hall who haven't got anywhere to sleep this evening. I mean, there's no doubt DISC does great work. But, you know, it's those conversations with Dave and with Tara that are playing on my mind about the opposition groups like DISC are facing. I mean, I've spoken with some very decent, very well-mannered, homeless and vulnerable people during the course of the past few weeks, but there's no doubt there have been others. You know, there have been some who are suffering from addictions, from illnesses, who have their own demons to overcome. And the fact of the matter is, you know, life below the poverty line, it doesn't lend itself to elegance or to refinement. There are reasons that you can sympathise with as to why people don't want groups like DISC and others on their doorstep. But if you ask me, that's just sweeping the problem under the rug a little. It smells of that, you know. There is poverty in Cornwall, and asking groups like DISC to move on or go somewhere else, it strikes me a little of burying your head in the sand. For the final word, I head to perhaps the most famous or infamous holiday destination in Cornwall, Newquay. Yes, it's known for tourism, perhaps of a more raucous nature than some are used to, but like other places in the county, it has to deal with its own population, living on the edge of society. Alan Lee knows them better than most. He's been running a soup kitchen at one of the town's churches for years now. He understands why some groups are against the work volunteers do with the vulnerable, but says opposition won't make things any better.
You're never going to cure everything. No, I don't expect to do that. But if you just get people to come in and talk and maybe look a little bit and think, why am I doing this? What is in there? You just have a little bit and say, why are you doing this? And you have to, a light may just switch on in, I don't know, 2 years' time, saying, yeah, I spoke to somebody there and they said, I'm going to do that.
But what if opponents do succeed? What if volunteers decided they had better things to do with their time, that they didn't want the hassle? If tomorrow, everything stopped.
If everybody decided that they don't want to do this no more, run soup kitchens, do it, there'd still be the people would still be there. And the idea of saying, well, I don't want to mush, kick them out of town, shift them somewhere else, is not the answer to the problem at all, because they'll just do the same and move around and move around. Because they become very resilient. People who live on the streets, they learn how to live, where they get things from, they eye things up, they know what they're doing, they're looking for an opportunity to get something, take something, you know, they learn to live. And if you can get them before they get into that system, stop them becoming, shall I say, educated in that way, then you've got a chance that they'll change.
You know, it seems only appropriate to end this programme in the way I started it, with the sounds of a Cornish beach behind me, of a Cornish summer. And yes, this is one side of a beautiful, unique county. I'd hate for you to think it wasn't. But I hope I've shown you another side as well, one where some of Cornwall's most vulnerable individuals are relying on the kindness of strangers for food, for company, for shelter. No, it's not pretty. The volunteers face challenges from those they help and those that wish they didn't help at all. But that's the reality of life below Cornwall's poverty line.